In this meditation, I'm going to talk to you about the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. But first of all, it's good that we recap about the situation of man. Sin brings with it a situation of potential disaster, that is, eternal condemnation. So we can imagine in a very simplistic way that after original sin, God, who is infinite love, infinite goodness, who loves man to the extreme, is deeply wounded about the situation, the potential situation of disaster for humanity. So in heaven, there is a meeting among the Holy Trinity, where they come together and they, we can imagine in a very simplistic way that they have a meeting among themselves in order to decide of what to do about this disaster. So what kind of solution is there? And so with this, we can we understand, like from the what has the afterwards what has happened, that God is never indifferent to human suffering. You can imagine, like with a a mother worries about her children, or parents, good parents, worry about their children. And especially, in a family situation, a father may come to reject, with say, a son. If the son is rebellious, if the son is, going on a bad path. But a mother is going to, be much slower to, reject completely of her son, because she carried, her son in her womb for 9 months. And so a mother is always she always has that, soft spot, so to speak, in her heart for her son. So in a similar way, we can say, that this, we say maternal instinct is also present in the heart of God. God is always concerned about every soul that walks the earth. And while there are souls, there are people alive on this earth, God will continue to look and seek and call a new situation, a new events, disasters or wars or persecutions or good times or whatever, in order to communicate to that soul through the intelligence, through reasoning, through thoughts, in order to call that soul to himself, in order for that soul to realize his true greatness. So we can imagine, the situation in life is almost like when you see these orphan children that are roaming the streets in third world countries. They have no parents. They're out in the streets. They are starving, and of course they're in danger, because they eat anything that comes along. With say that I've heard situations of where in Vietnam, that the children there on the street, they're so so hungry they actually start eating cockroaches and things like that, and they're poor and dirty, and of course they're always under the danger as well of being victims of abuse, from strangers and so on. So this is almost the situation of humanity. They're they're kind of orphans, they're on the streets. So God wants to bring that humanity into a situation where they come closer to him, and where he can actually save them and bring them to paradise and heaven. So God is a God of life, love, wisdom, holiness, charity, and infinite beauty. Saint Teresa of Jesus, a wonderful 16th century Spanish saint, she described life as life is like having a bad night in a bad inn. Well, here we're in the Bed and Breakfast. We're very, very good. It's actually wonderful. Thanks to Stefan. And, you know, but I mean, you know, maybe back in those 16th centuries, you know, if you were in a, you went into an inn, or if you paid for a night in an inn, well, obviously it'd be a very different situation. Could be, you know, dampness, or maybe, you know, there's a lot of shortage of food, or maybe cold or whatever. But, you know, certainly it's actually a very good description of actually life, because, you know, life is just a very raw and crude experience. Obviously, part of life is, you know, suffering. It's obviously inevitable. And, you know, we all of us have to suffer the one way or another. And so, so God then grieves over the mortal death of sinners who journey on a path of self-will, pride, arrogance, and rebellion. So God permits certain sufferings on humanity in order to wake their souls up. For example, wars, persecutions, hunger, natural disasters. All of these things are part of God's plan, because in those situations of intense suffering, you know, people very often just cry out to God in desperation. If somebody is like on the point of dying in agony, you know, maybe that point, that soul can direct itself, you know, towards God and say, God, have mercy on me, for I'm a sinner. So basically, the decision by the Holy Trinity is taken, and that decision is that the second person of the Holy Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ, will go down to earth. That is to say that he's going to leave all the beauty and glory of heaven. Yeah, he's going to go into now a situation that is really bizarre for God, you know, God being the creator of the world, the universe, creator of man. He's actually now going to come down. He's going to take mortal flesh like ourselves, and he's just going to be just one among men. Obviously, he is going to be free completely from any stain of sin. So in order to make this for this project to take effect, well, there has to be a young woman to be chosen, free from original sin. And in time, the Holy Spirit will form the second person of the Holy Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the womb. So a young Jewish woman called Mary, pure, spotless, holy, devout, with a heart of gold, heart completely given to God, is chosen to be the instrument by which God is going to enter into the world. But before that, we have to realize that, you know, there's an encounter where basically, the angel Gabriel goes down in order to say, ask Mary, like, if she is like, if she is willing in order to be the handmaid of the Lord. So here we have, I can found, well, you can, it's, see if I can find it. Yeah, so Mary's, well, it says, so then it says, like, you know, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, and the of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, greetings, hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. And she was very perplexed by these words. and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Now, you have to remember here, you're talking about a very humble, poor, simple Jewish young woman. When somebody is very humble, if you start, like, you know, with, say, giving them titles of honor and, you know, praising them, they get very embarrassed. So Mary is perplexed by this greeting of the angel. She's in her home. She's, you know, working away. They're just doing the ordinary tasks of the house. And all of a sudden, you have the appearance of this beautiful angel, Gabriel, who is now going to ask her if he wants to be the mother of God. And then, of course, Mary's heart is so in love with God from such a young age, and she was so pure and so humble, that when the angel asked her, her automatic response was yes. But she said, like, how is this to come about since I do not know man? And then the angel explains to her, like, that the Holy Spirit would come upon you. And then she said at the end, here, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word. So we can see here that Mary has a heart that is completely open to God's will. She is now accepting this project of God, and she has no idea what it entails. But she loves God, and she wants to complete his will. So we can see here the virtue of obedience, of love, and complete surrender to God's will. Of course, Mary did not have, you know, a life of roses, as we know. She had, you know, a life that was completely given to the service of God. But, you know, she, before that, like, you know, she, well, she, probably the greatest suffering that she endured in her life was, well, there's different moments, especially like when she lost Jesus going up to Jerusalem. That was a moment of intense anguish and, we say, stress for herself and also for Saint Joseph. Then you have, of course, the final moment of Jesus' life where she accompanied and she witnessed the crucifixion and death of her son. Now, you could imagine, like, you know, if you have somebody, a loved one, then some evil men come to your home and they start taking out, say, you know, a loved one, mother or father or maybe children, and start torturing them there before your eyes. You can imagine the effect and the stress, the trauma that can cause. So you can imagine, like, you know, we say Mary is, she loves so intensely her son that, you know, to see him tortured, mocked, with such, a cruelty and violence, you know, breaks her heart in two. So she's kind of like undergoing like a spiritual martyrdom, like an interior, like, you know, suffering that's so intense that it kind of crushes her completely. Before this, I mean, in the Old Testaments, like, God is preparing all the situation of the arrival of Jesus, because through the prophecies, through the prophets, the Messiah has to come. There are several, like, references in the Old Testament to the Messiah. The Messiah is Jesus. What does this Messiah mean? It means the Anointed One. So the Jewish people are now expecting, like, you know, the arrival of this Messiah. This Messiah, they think, obviously, you know, part of these prophecies is this Messiah will inaugurate a new time of prosperity, of peace, and a new kingdom. So the Jewish mentality is thinking, like, you know, this is wonderful. We are going to have, you know, a Messiah who is going to, like, you know, bring a time of prosperity. So we're going to be, like, rich. And not only that, but, like, you know, the enemies, our enemies, this Messiah is going to crush them all. So we're going to be great. So it's like a very humanistic mentality on, we say, who the Messiah is. It's not obviously the correct mentality. And so, there's prophets after prophets, like, you know, announcing that this, you know, the arrival of the Messiah, this prophecy about the Virgin, and, you know, this, the inauguration of this new kingdom. And finally, it comes to the part where, you know, we say you have, you know, the arrival of Jesus. And, you know, you can read it later if you desire, like on, you know, in the Bible, it's on Matthew's Gospel, the chapter 1, verse 18. And it goes like this. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with a child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So then it goes on. It's actually, you know, a beautiful passage, you know, and then it talks here, you know, we'd say about the visit of the wise men. Just want to, like, focus in on actually the actual birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, because, you know, you can just imagine the following. You know, the coming of the Messiah, one would say that he would deserve, obviously, you know, a decent, noble birth in a nice palace, you know, with servants and maids and, you know, received, you know, to have that. Because after, in the end, you know, it is the Messiah that's coming. So, you know, and so, like, you know, when Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem for the census, they're going into a city that's crowded by people. They have to go by donkey. Mary is heavily pregnant. They're going on their donkey. They have with their few belongings. And you can imagine, like, you know, say for Mary, like, she's heavily pregnant, she's on the donkey. You can imagine the pain that she would have in her back, the heat, the dust, you know. It's just a very, very unpleasant, we say, trip. But they go in faith because they realize, you know, that God is opening up his plan, that they have to go there. It's a human law that they have to go, like, you know, to Bethlehem, you know, in order sign the census. So they're going there. And when they arrive, there are loads of people. And they thought, like, you know, there's no relatives there, you know, for in order to receive them. Because, you know, when we go for a journey, you know, we always, like, well, if I'm going, for example, to Derry, well, like, you know, it's a long journey, so I'm going to go there. I'm just going to see, like, you know, if there's somebody there that can put me up or whatever. If there's not, it means, like, you know, you have to pay, you know. So the inns in those times would be, like, obviously, you know, they'd have to be expensive in those terms, you know. So Joseph and Mary were poor. They went to Bethlehem. They had no place to stay. So that means they just basically had to go looking around. So that's why they went, like, you know, knocking on doors, just asking people if they could put them up, put them up for the night and so on. The the answer in all of the majority of them was just like, you know, I'm very sorry, but we're full up. Like somebody coming around here looking for a B&B, you know, for the night, just knock on our door and sorry, we're full up. We're on a retreat. or, you know, if they go around somewhere else, so just basically go from door and there's nothing. Yeah. So it's very frustrating, very stressful. Mary is heavily pregnant. And then at the end, the only place is a cave, which is like a stable. you know, if any of you have like grown up on a farm and like, you know, or if you've ever had an experience of going onto a farm, if you go into a stable where the animals are, you can imagine what it's like. First of all, the smell is like bad. You know, you have animals in there and, you know, this bad smell, you know, it's just damp. It's cold. And so, I mean, basically in that humidity of the stable, the Son of God is born to Mary. So you have Jesus, like, who is placed in a manger. The manger is a place where the animals eat. It's the feeder. And it's kind of highly, you know, symbolic because Bethlehem means house of bread. And the Son of God is now placed in a manger where the animals eat. So it's highly symbolic, all of this. So in so Jesus desired to come into the world in this way as helpless, defenseless young baby in order to help humanity to rekindle in the souls of all humanity a love and devotion to him, because he comes with that in that innocence and that beauty of a small baby born into poverty. So babies are just so cute, they're so beautiful. When we contemplate baby Jesus, you know, lying in a manger in these conditions, it provokes in the human heart just a tenderness, a love. And God wants that, because God desires to break down the walls in the human heart. He wants humanity to come closer and to realize that in this mystery of incarnation, that he is a God who is close, who is full of tenderness, full of love, full of compassion. And so this mystery is something, it is really a sublime mystery. Then what happens from there? You have, of course, you know, different things happening. You have the visit of the wise men. You obviously have the visit also of the shepherds to adore the child Jesus. And then shortly after that, you have a situation where the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream. And he says to him, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Now, this is interesting here because we see that, like, you know, the Messiah is coming into the world in order to establish a reign of peace, of love, of unity. And already, like, yeah, there are plans, you know, to kill him, to destroy him. So what happens? Herod, like, had previously, like, you know, spoken with the three wise men, and he realizes, yeah, the infant, this Messiah, is coming about, and he's going to be born in Bethlehem. So, like, you know, when you guys meet the Messiah, just tell me, because I'd like to do homage to him. And so Herod was a cruel and violent man. And he realized as time passes that he had been deceived by the wise men, because the wise men, do not return. And so Herod is realizes that his position of authority is now in jeopardy, but he does not want anybody to jeopardize his authority as king, as governor. And so what happens? He orders the he was infuriated, and he sent his soldiers so that the children in that in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men, that they be killed. Yeah. So Joseph and Mary and the child Jesus get out there just in time, and then after that you have like the soldiers going in, opening up the doors, ransacking the house, looking for the male children. And when they find the male children, yeah, they just slaughter them. So it's a situation of terror and terrible violence and terrible suffering for the women, for the mothers. So that's why we celebrate the Holy Innocents, which is the 28th of December. Because those are, children are considered they've shed their blood for Jesus, and you know they were innocent children, but they were victims of this terrible violence, and so we see here how you know the man's murderous plans, on God, even before, just as he has entered entered into the world. And so basically, we can meditate on this great plan that God has over humanity. Now, we have to realize also the Blessed Virgin Mary, on saying yes to the angel Gabriel, it's the like her yes is like a yes, the project of salvation. If she had said no, or if she said like, you know, I need to think about it, can you come back another day? She didn't. Her automatic response was yes. So because of her yes, like this project of salvation is now up and running, so to speak. Yeah. So Jesus Christ is now, he is born, he is in the world. And then later on, he grows up in Nazareth with his father, foster father, Saint Joseph, and also his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so you can imagine, like, you know, from this holy family, the amount of glory and love and charity that's like, that is continually expressed among them. And, you know, the glory that God the Father receives on contemplating, you know, that holy family there in that great humility of working, of being a family, of sharing things together, the sanctification. Yeah. So Jesus comes into the world for love of me, for love of all humanity. He comes to save me. So we'll leave it there. Just once again, it's important to imagine the circumstances, you know, the poverty, the simplicity, the greatness of that yes of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And to think that the creator of the world, you know, is now a creature. He is now, we say, among men. But the greatest revelation, obviously, is to take place later on in his adult life. Now, for the moment, Jesus is born. He's growing up in Nazareth. And a day will come when he will leave the security and the comfort of his family in order to proclaim his message of salvation to all humanity. So we give thanks to the Lord for his great love and for the mystery of his incarnation. And we thank him for coming among us in such simplicity and such poverty in order to redeem us. We ask our Blessed Mother, Holy Mary, to help us now in this meditation in order to grow in love for her beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.